Syrian refugee Abdulaziz didn't just have to leave his home because of war. The violence followed him and his family from city to city. In the second part of our series, 6 Degrees of Separation, continues the story of people she met in a refugee camp in Greece. We hear how life, education, even creativity continue on despite the uncertain and fragile place of a refugee.
No one leaves home unless home chases you. Fire under feet, hot blood in your belly. It's not something you ever thought of doing until the blade burnt threats into your neck. And even then, you carried the anthem under your breath, only tearing up your passport in an airport toilet, sobbing as each mouthful of paper made it clear that you would not be going back.
We didn't make this war. We didn't make it. It was by its own. And until now, we really feel bad. It's impossible. Now you are here, but if you know that you will not go back to your country, what you will feel? You will feel really bad. You can't see your home again, you can't see your stuff again, you can't see your friends, you can't see anything. You're starting your new life. And that's what's happening with us.
The countryside they lived in was in a constant battle between the government and the people, the ownership switching sides on what seemed like a weekly basis. Eventually, his family had enough. They had moved 6 times through the countryside trying to avoid the war, but it seemed to be following them. Abdulaziz was not able to go to school, and his family felt that this was not the way they wanted him to live. They left for Turkey in the hopes of a brighter future.
When we have gone to Turkey, it was really normal. We were going to go illegal because they are taking the passport and sometimes making some problem. But we said we will try, and we were going by passport. Then it was good, because we have just gone by passport. But after our leaving in Turkey, 1 month, it stopped. The way to come, it stopped. And even that, if you are going illegal, like Turkey, like military, or Turkey, the police or the military in the border, they have order to kill anyone can cross the border. And in the last time, there were 37 victims because of that.
But in Turkey, he faced a new and unexpected challenge, racism.
Then that was the new thing, and it was the worst thing we faced it. If you will be killed because of government, it's better than be in that thing, or to feel inferior, like to feel there is someone like telling you that, this is not your country, so you can't stay here, or you can't even that stand in this place because this is my place. Then what? Yeah, it's okay. Maybe that you're right. This is your place, yeah. But remember, one day you will have the same thing. There is someone will tell you that's not your fucking place and you will just leave from there.
Abdulaziz's brother was working in Turkey throughout this time. He was running a small mobile phone shop. One day, the government came into his shop and took all the phones because they said they were illegally obtained. They weren't. His brother had to start again.
It's like a game. We are really living in a game. Go in a level, then fall down. Then start again from the beginning. Then go, fall down, start from the beginning. That's it.
Abdulaziz takes powerful photos in the camps to detail what daily life is like for refugees and has created photo campaigns in the past. He runs a Facebook page entitled Through Refugee Eyes, and has had photography exhibitions in multiple countries, aided by volunteers who have met him and been thoroughly impressed by his work. He's admired by many, including Maddie Williamson, the field coordinator for one of the mission trips to Greece. She spent 11 weeks there, from April to the end of June. Maddie met Abdulaziz while he was in Echo Camp, an informal camp in Greece, which we'll talk more about in a bit.
He's wicked smart, and his whole family's like that. When we were in Echo, his mom would feed us every night. She'd make enough food for, like, all of the volunteers to come and eat, and I would have iftar with them. They're wonderful people. I always try to, I guess, humanize it, because we're always like, oh, well, there's 56,000 Syrian refugees trapped in Greece, and it's just totally different when you put a name and a story to it. And then on top of that, like, even that can be too overwhelming for people, where they're like, well, clearly we don't have anything in common because they're fleeing a war zone, and here I am with my life. But with his family, it's like that they have the exact same values as my family, where if there's guests, you cook for them and you make them sit down and eat and feel welcome and you enjoy each other's company and give each other gifts and hugs and share tea and that kind of thing. I love telling people about that because I think that's a piece of something that they can identify with. Whereas like living in a tent in the parking lot of a gas station after fleeing wars, too much for some people to comprehend, but saying like, oh, we have a guest, let's feed them. That's something that I think all of us can relate to.
You can go to our webpage, waer.org, to hear past installments of 6 Degrees of Separation, as well as see some photos of Anjali's experience in the refugee camp. Again, waer.org.